Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of You Were Made for More. I am excited to bring you guys this conversation that I had with New York Times bestselling author and former artist of the worship band Ren Collective, Allie Gilkison. Allie currently lives in Nashville, Tennessee with her family, and she recently published a book called Keeping the Light. Keeping the Light carries a strong message for kids about showing grace to everyone, even those who seem undeserving. It's a story, a fictional story of a boy named Finn who really has a strong metaphorical message about what light is and what light is in the gospel. And through this story, kids are able to hear humor and warmth through Allie's storytelling. She uses joy and laughter to create a powerful message for them that is so, so important and that the gospel really is all about. So I wanted to feature her book today in light of conversations we've been having on the blog and on social media about parenting. She is passionate about discipling her own kids to be light and image bearers of God to the world. So I pray that you would be inspired by her and that you would head over to the show notes and check out Keeping the Light wherever you buy your books. All right, Allie, so welcome. This is the You Were Made for More podcast. We are excited to meet you today. I kind of like to ask our listeners when we start a show to kind of go over like a little Spark Notes version of who you are. Like tell me where you're located, where we can find you, what you're into on a daily basis. Tell us about your family, like who is Allie and what's she all about?
Yes. So my name is Allie Gilkison. I come from Belfast, Northern Ireland. That's where I grew up. And at around the age of 24, started touring in a band called Ren Collective, which brought us to America, touring for a long time. And I have three kids. They are 11, 9, and my little daughter turned 8 yesterday. And they are wonderful and so much fun. And my passions would be raising good humans and exercise. I exercise a lot. I love going to the gym and dancing and rock climbing. And pickleball is my also a new obsession, which I'm embarrassed to say. It takes up a lot of my time. And I now live in Nashville, Tennessee most of the year. We still go home to Ireland most of the summers because it feels like Tennessee is trying to cook us here and Irish people can't really deal with the heat. And that's a little snapshot of what my life looks like.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for this conversation because you have kids who are a little bit older than mine. I have three kids, about to have four kids, but
Congrats.
mine are little. They're like 5, 2, and 1. So you're like in the season of life ahead of me and discipling kids, and like that is, it's always exciting to have conversations with moms like that and kind of learn what the Lord is teaching you and how he's guiding you and things like that. My husband also is obsessed with pickleball, so he does share that passion.
Gets it. He gets it.
He gets it. I get it because he plays it a lot. All right, so I want to highlight your new book, Keeping the Light. And Keeping the Light, I kind of want to ask you. I know the message of the book is all about, it's so important because it really is what the gospel is broken down, right? It's about showing grace to everyone, even those people who we might think are undeserving of our grace. And you do this, you teach this story through storytelling and just like phenomenal authorship of a story about this little boy named Finn and his life. But I want to know, like, how did you come up with the idea for the book, and how has that lesson kind of played into your own parenting? Like, why did you feel it was important to share this with the world?
Sure. It's to talk first about keeping the light. So I wrote another book called My Lighthouse, which came out a year and a half ago. And it's about Finn and his lighthouse. And that story was really about being, there's a light in your life that is available to you no matter what. Even though if you don't, he hates his house because it's round, it's weird, it's a lighthouse. And he sets off on an adventure and realizes it's his house that's guiding everybody safe to shore. And he's like, wow, this is really special. And then keeping the light, I really wanted to carry on with that story, and make it more about, hey, you have this light within you that sometimes people that you meet or your circumstances will make you want to try and hide it, make you want to put it away. Whether it's because you're afraid of what people will say, or you're like, well, they don't deserve me at my best, or I'm not going to be nice to them because they don't deserve it, they're mean. It's going, no, hey, like your light within you should shine no matter what. And that's the power that you have. And and I think it was just really important for me. I think things, even as adults, things happen in our lives that we can makes us want to hide ourselves, makes us want to hide who we are and what we carry and what we're about. And you're going, no, hey, it's, and I love that at the end of the book, it's like the light is not dependent on like who's around you or what's going on around you. We're just the keepers. It's been put within us by, something much higher and much greater and much stronger. And I just wanted to like empower a generation of going, you know what? You got this. Like, don't let these people around you determine when and how you shine your light. It's up to you. Like, you get to shine no matter what.
Yeah, that's such a good message. I'm curious, like, as your kids have gotten older, first of all, do you tell me about your kiddos? Like, do they go to a public school? Do they go to a private? What does their schooling journey look like? And kind of how has this played into the lessons that you've had to teach them, as they've grown up and created friendships and faced conflict and things like that? Because I remember as a teenager and a young person myself, there's always conflict, and it's like choosing to be a light and choosing not to let other people dull your light can sometimes be really tricky and difficult.
For sure. So my kids were homeschooled up until 2 years ago because we were on the road. So we had to homeschool. I had to homeschool. My husband didn't homeschool. And so they just started going to, they actually go to a private Christian school now. And we really, We really chose that because of the nature of the way things are, particularly in Nashville, Tennessee, right now. And I was like, you know what? We're gonna do this route, and it's been the greatest thing that ever really happened to them, honestly. They adore school; they love it. Actually, my eldest son was just on Good Morning America because
No way.
he did this little thing. It was like the Whitney Houston challenge with.
Okay, yes.
And he did it perfectly. So it was in the school, in his middle school, and then it went viral, and it was on Good Morning America. But with that transition from home school to like big school, where there's a bunch of other kids around. Now, granted, it's definitely easier for them because it's Christian school. There's a lot of like-mindedness there, but still. I even really noticed it more from my daughter who's just turned 8. You know, she would go in and be like, "Oh, I don't want to wear this to school today because so and so might make fun of me." And I'm like, "Hold on, why are we hiding who we are for someone else?" You know, little things like that. And so for them, I always just try and put into them like, "Be who you are," you know. And we don't try and change yourself for the people around you. Like, be who you are. Sometimes my kids wear, you're in a good spot because you can choose what your kids wear. My kids, they come down like, "I wanted to wear this today," and you're like, "We did. We this is what we wanted
So
to
true, so true.
wear." And I'm always like, "Go change your outfit, not yourself." And so, there's little moments like that, and it's. For me, throughout the whole process, I'm always going, have open, honest conversations with your kids and allow your kids to ask the questions. And I've always had this dialogue of like, "Hey, I'm not afraid of your questions. Absolutely not. Like, ask me anything. Let's talk about anything, any doubts, fears, concerns." Like, something comes up in our Bible study, and you're like, "What is that about?" And you're like, "Yeah, ask me." Like, this is not, you can ask the questions and you can have these things going on in your brain, and it's fine. I'm not afraid of it. So I think having open dialogue of, you know, my kids come home most days like, "Oh, someone said this and this was weird, and I don't know what to think about this." You're like, "Okay, let's talk about it. Let's," and I'm not here being like, "I have all the answers," you know. Absolutely not. But I'm here to go through the journey with you and to figure this out and to see what we can, how we can navigate all situations.
Yeah, that's so true. I think, like, no matter how young, that's something we talk about on this podcast a lot is like, no matter how young your kids are, start instilling that culture in your home. Like, I want you to talk to me about things that you're confused about, like things that you see happening around you in the world that you don't understand. Like, my oldest is 5 and just started kindergarten. Also goes to like a private, it's a Christian academy. So she goes 4 days a week. Fridays, we have homeschool curriculum that we do. So it's like a good mixture. Bless you for homeschooling while you were on the road. It's a beast for sure. But I even like she'll, have a lot of big feelings. She's 5 and have feelings about failure and when things are hard for her. And it's like, don't write those little moments off as a parent because, as they get older, it's like it's so important to have that foundation as they start having friendships and conflicts and deeper things that they're facing, like you're talking about, like they have that foundation. So now they're like, okay, mom is a safe space where I can talk with this thing about.
I think as well, developing these coping mechanisms very young as well. What I've realized, even with my kids, of going, I think kids this day and age remember so much more because everything's getting documented. They can go back in your phone and see the photos and see the videos, and they're remembering things. So, like my kids, I don't remember anything of primary school. Like, but like Arthur, my eldest, or Lachlan, my middle, they're like, "Oh, remember we did this? Or remember this happened to me? Or remember he said this to me?" And I'm going, "Wow, like you remember all of this stuff." And they're like, "Well, you know, we see videos and we see ourselves doing these moments over and over again, and their ability to go back and remember because it's being visually shown to them so much more." And again, that's why I wanted to write books that, you know, sparked conversation. I wanted to write books that were like, "Oh, what do you think about that? What would you have done in that moment if you were Finn, or if you had a lighthouse for a house? How would you feel about that? Or do you sometimes feel different from all your friends?" And like little, I when I was homeschooling, books were so massive for me of sparking conversation, instilling education, knowledge, questioning, all of that stuff. And so I wanted to write really, but also really fun books that where the artwork was really nice. And you know, when your kid picked it off the shelf, that you're like, "Yes, we've got this book, not something else."
Yes, I will say so. I actually purchased your book, and my daughter and I read it in like preparation for this interview, and she is so in to books. Loves books. She loves pictures. Like beautiful artwork is something that I feel like kids are just drawn to, you know? But she really enjoyed the book, and the one thing she said was like, "Mom, that was such a fun story." So I wanted to encourage you in that, but also ask you, in your home, like in your motherhood, even like go back to those early years when you were on the road with your kids, and like in this, a lot of the times in the early years when everything is such like a physical, you know, like I have three children climbing all over me at all times, you know, it's easy to not be joyful. It takes intention to start every day and be like, even though this is really gonna be tiring and I have a lot of things to accomplish in my work and in my home and in my motherhood, how have you used joy and laughter in your own motherhood, and how has that transformed your home? Because that's something like I think your writing, it really comes across in your writing and your storytelling, and I can tell that's just kind of like part of who you are.
And it's part even of, I would say, a lot of Irish culture. So
Okay, interesting.
growing up in Ireland, we make fun of ourselves and each other a lot. We learn at a very young age to make be able to laugh at yourself and to be able to like make jokes about things, you know. So from an early age, I really installed that hard with my kids of going, "Hey, you fell over. That was funny. Like, we laugh because that was fun. Now, if you got hurt, of course, we take care of you, but then we can maybe make a joke about it later on." Or if you couldn't, and I remember one day we were going to a friend's house for dinner, and my son couldn't get his seatbelt unbuckled. And he was like, "I can't get it unbuckled, Mom." And I was like, "Okay, well, we'll have a good dinner. We'll see you when we get back. You know, you just stay here then." You know, and he's like, "Mom!" And I'm like, "Hey, that's a joke. It's funny, you know." And so a lot of the time, all growing up, I play pranks on my kids all the time. And we laugh a lot. And so it's one thing, it's funny, all their teachers now talk about it, how they just have this ability to, you know, make light, make fun, and enjoy the little things. And but what I will say, like where you are in your motherhood, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And so I know there's probably a bunch of moms listening to this now being like, I don't even have time to process having fun, because the amount of things that you have to do, the scheduling, who needs a nap, who needs fed, who needs change, who has to be now at school on time. And it's so much work. It's so much work. And one thing that I will say to all mothers, when everybody, I sometimes do a bit of mentoring, and I'm like, you know, ask for help and receive help. Like, there was this whole thing, and I felt it so much whenever I was had young kids. I'm like, I have to be able to do it all and be all and manage everything, and then also be this like spark on stage and be like, oh, everything's great, everything's amazing. I'm like, no, this is hard work. This is so much work. And so it used to be when someone was like, hey, can Al watch the kids for an hour? I'd be like, no, don't. It's fine. I got it now. I'm like, yeah, okay, that would be great. Thank you so much. Because just even having that little break and receiving that and being like, this is no reflection on my motherhood. Actually, I'm going to come back and be a better mother because I was able to get a little bit of help. That was huge for me to learn and to start installing into my motherhood of going, there was times even where we would have some help on the road, and I would say to the nanny, I'm just like, hey, I want you to tidy up and wash the bottles and wash the dishes and fold the laundry, and I want to play with the kids. Like, I want to be the fun person. I don't want to be the one that's having to like organize all the things. And so sometimes just even, because that's the little parts that kids remember. Like, kids are not going to remember, oh, mom always had the house clean. Mom always had my bottles sterilized. It's like, no, mom played this game with me for 20 minutes and it was amazing. It was so much fun, and for me, I'm like, that's the little parts that I want my kids to remember. And again, I love comedy. I think it's so much fun. And just having like little ideas. I remember one year I wrapped up a puppet for my son for his birthday. He's one of, and for some reason, I don't know why, but I happen to be like good at puppets. I did kids ministry for a long time. And so I just wrapped up the puppet's head. And then I was in the puppet while he unwrapped it. And then I was like, thank you for letting me out. I was suffocating in there, and the kids are just laughing about this, silly things. Or anytime I wash their teddies, when I take them out of the dryer, I do a skit about like, you have no idea what I've just been through. And the kids are like, oh, that's, funny, or just trying to make little jokes. And yes, bring a lot of joy into the house. I am all about it.
Yes, I love that. I think it's so easy. I mean, especially now having multiple children, it's like there are just so many demands,
Yes. And as they get older, it's even more because it's emotional demands as well.
In school and homework, like there's just so much going on. So the days, honestly, like by bedtime, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, where did the day go? Like,
Yeah, and you're going and like you're exhausted to do. I remember chatting to someone even just the other day. They were talking about I was in pickleball. They were talking about what shows they're watching, and I'm like, when do you have time to watch shows? Like, when do
yes,
you
like,
do
what is
that?
a show? Yes.
Like, and they're like, well, after the kids go to bed. I'm like, I fall asleep after the kids go to
Oh my goodness, I'm famous for that. My husband will be like, let's watch this new show, and then I'm like 5 minutes and I'm asleep on the couch.
Remember those days. I remember those days. It's exhausting. It's just so full on.
But something that I guess this is kind of where I want to like head in wrapping up our conversation is that as parents try to encourage our kids to be light keepers and to show the light of Jesus to everyone around them, their classmates, other adults, and activities that they do. Like, that really should be our goal. But sometimes I find myself at home, like, this is something my husband and I talk about a lot, like what we want our home culture to look like. It's like if we as parents are not in great moods all the time, or if we are having a bad day, that really like overflows into the type of day that your kids have, right? The culture of your home really flows from you as parents. So what are like some practical ways? I know that you said you're super into like humor and making jokes with your kids, which is so good. But sometimes when life is really hard, when maybe your family is facing a really huge challenge, there's things weighing on you as a parent, there's illness in your family, there's just like a sadness that you're trying to work through as a parent. What are some other practical ways that you would encourage moms and dads to make sure that they're keeping their own light in order to encourage their kids to do that too?
For sure. Yes, life happens, and we have been through it as a family, very hard times. And what I have started doing, which I didn't do at the start, was I would explain to the kids in a very kid-friendly language why things maybe look a bit different today. Or I'd be like, if the kids are like doing something and there's times where your fuse is just tiny and you're like, bah! Then I'll always be like, sorry, kids. Mommy's feeling a little bit upset today, or mommy's feeling really tired today, or mommy's going through like something hard today, and I just don't have the same energy. And so sometimes explaining to the kids and going, this is something that I'm processing or doing, it instantly be like, this is not about you. I'm not upset with you. And there's days where I was just like so tired. I was like, kids, mommy's really tired today. So, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the park and play. We're gonna just sit in the house and like do an activity. Or just sometimes I felt like we had try and hide things from our kids a lot, and then they're left in this wondering of going, Mom was upset today. Mom like shouted at us for something that she doesn't normally shout at us about. And I wanted to take that like questioning out and go, okay, I wasn't at my best today. Sometimes even at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm sorry, I feel like I wasn't a great mom today. And then they're just like, oh, no. You're like, well, no. I'm just letting you know I'm aware that I'm not going around being like, oh, trying to cover anything up. I'm not trying to hide anything from you guys. Adults have hard days too. Like, how sometimes you come home from school and you're so tired. I was so tired today, and or like something really sad happened with mommy's friends, and I'm upset, And so it's kid-friendly language. I don't think we should tell kids the ins and outs of all our adult problems, absolutely not. But making them aware that that there's something different in yourself puts them at ease, puts them out of the questioning zone of what's going on, or that they feel like they have to start tiptoeing around the place of going, hey, we're having a bad day. That's okay. We're going to get through it because we're together. We're still a family and we still love each other. Things like that really help. Also, there was times where we were in a really dark time, and I would be like, you know what? The housework can wait, the mess can wait. We're all just gonna go to the movies. And it's like something that you would never do because you're like, it's a Tuesday and it's 4 p.m. But you know what? We're having popcorn for dinner and we're going to the movies because that's all I have the capacity for. So sometimes just like putting something random in and being like, okay, we're just going to try and jolt us out of this little funk that we're in, just can help, and it may you'd be like, oh, you're distracting. I'm like, sometimes it's okay to put a distraction in and be like, okay, I just got to get through the rest of this day because it's been really, really hard. And then you go to bed, you start new, and you go, okay, we're starting all over again. Hopefully today will be a better day. I would say give yourself grace. There's grace upon grace upon grace, and motherhood is really hard, especially when life throws something terrible at you and you're like, oh, now I have to deal with all of this stuff and still parent. I remember when somebody said that we were going through such a hard time, like, what are you how are you going to cope with this? I'm like, I have to cope. because I still have to parent. Like, I can't just curl up in a corner and start crying all day. I don't have that option. I still have three kids that need things from me, need fed, need cuddles, need help with homework. And you're like, this is what I got. I got to do this. And then there'll be a time where I can start processing what I'm going through and what how I'm feeling. But it's a hard balance and a hard juggling act for sure. But there is grace, and you do what you need to do. And one of the best things I learned going through hard times was, like, it's not being selfish. If you need time away, if you need time to yourself, it's not selfish, it's self-full. And you have to take care of yourself so that you can also then take care of these wonderful children that are in your care.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's like everything you said. I've had mentors tell me, I've watched parents in different seasons of life do themselves, and I've kind of like adopted that into my own parenting. I think that that's something that maybe like the older generations, you know, like my parents really didn't let me see th when things were hard, even though as kids, right, like your perceptive, you know, like even if they don't tell you know. And I think that we the more awareness we bring to conversations like this, the more honesty is being perpetuated in our homes, right? And that's another part of like having a solid relationship with God, is being able to be honest about when things are hard in order to face conflict and come out the other side.
Exactly.
So I love that. And you're so right, distraction. Like some days it's just like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna do nothing on my to-do list, or and that's okay because I feel like having fun with my kids is gonna help me be more of a light and therefore create a culture that I want in our home. So I think that those are all like really great lessons, as we look at what this book can also teach parents. That's something I was thinking about reading the book with my daughter Ophi, was like, oh my gosh, this is so good for parents too. So
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
it is. So I'm going to link to Keeping the Light in the show notes for this episode. I encourage everyone who's listening to this, like, head over and purchase this book so that you have a bedtime story that you can read with your kids that is uplifting and fun, while also teaching kids about the gospel and having conversations. So, Allie, last question for you, and this is a fun one. Like, for anyone who purchases your book and is reading the book with their kids, what is one truth or question you would hope that the story of Finn and his life would spark, up in a conversation that they have with their kids before bedtime? Like, what's one question you would want your storytelling to kind of encourage people to tackle with their kids?
Well, I think it would just be, how are we going to let our light shine tomorrow? It would just be the simple, or it could be, who in your life do you find it hard to shine your light around? Or do you feel there's someone that tries to hide your light? Or how can I encourage you to shine your light tomorrow? And how can you encourage me, mommy, to shine my light? Like, how would you like my light to shine? Yeah, that was my real heart behind writing books, was to create connection points for the whole family, of going, I want to write a book that both the adult and the kid enjoys together and sparks a little bit of conversation and question. And that would be the perfect going, how are we shining our light tomorrow? Because the adult can answer that question just as much as the kid can, for sure.
I love that. That is a great, great question to focus on, especially like practically, you know, what can we do better tomorrow, and how can we shine the light of Jesus better tomorrow than we did today? And like that is really what I feel like the heart of your book is about. So I, like I said, I will link to Keeping the Light in our show notes. Allie, thank you so much for your storytelling and your writing and your wisdom and kind of sharing this story, and ultimately God's love with the world. I'm excited, and thank you for sharing with us the heart behind your book, and I'm excited for more people to get their hands on this.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.